Welcome to episode 59 of Booty and Bossy Eat, Drink, Knit. Our recipe for this time is the olive oil cake from King Arthur's baking website. This is one that Keely Richardson, who we interviewed in episode 58, our last episode, recommended from her blog, Puget Sound Woolpack. Bossy, do you want to tell us about the recipe?
Well, I was very excited to make this because I just loved how Keely described, I love a good cake or cookie. That her idea of a perfect afternoon was a good cake, in this case, everyday olive oil cake, and a good knit and some friends. So I just love that image. This is a wonderful recipe. It's basically, instead of butter or any kind of shortening like that, it just uses a half a cup of olive oil. I think I used Trader Joe's olive oil. I probably wouldn't use something that was more for like a salad dressing with a kind of robust flavor. You mix that together with two eggs, and then the sort of secret sauce is a quarter cup of orange juice, and then the zest of one orange, and then 3/4 of a cup of milk, or you could use soy milk. I actually had buttermilk. I had 3/4 of a cup of buttermilk, and I put that in because I wanted to use that up, because we like to use up things in the old fridge.
Yep.
And then a teaspoon of vanilla, and then the secret ingredient, which I had never tried before, was a 1/4 teaspoon of King Arthur Fiore di Sicilia, or Flowers of Sicily. It's an essential oil that's kind of a combination of vanilla and lemon and orange with some kind of secret sauce.
Only the Sicilians know.
Only the Sicilians know. Apparently, I looked up a little bit of the history of it, that when the Arabs came over, the ancient Arabs came over, they used a lot of floral essences in their cuisine. And so this was the melding of that Arab influence into local Sicilian cuisine. It has this wonderful sort of sweet floral aroma, but it's very potent. This would be one moment where I had to restrain the bossy impulse.
To add 2 teaspoons instead of 1/4 of a teaspoon.
1/4. I took out, I actually had a 1/4 teaspoon. It was dusty. I had to clean it off because I never used anything in that small of a quantity, but I did have it. I used it. It was plenty. And if you eat the cake with your fingers, you can smell it on your fingers for the rest of the day.
Bonus.
Yeah, but it does. It has this wonderful sort of floral sweet, but not too much. And I did use that. I bought it. I had to pay $9 in shipping, which...
That's the worst.
Hate that.
Yeah, we've gotten way too used to the evils of Amazon where we're not paying for shipping.
Yeah, and I didn't even look to see. I think that it's like $12.95 for a 1 ounce bottle, but 1 ounce will get you far.
Right.
$9.95 for shipping.
Yeah, and I did get something. It's technically Fiore di Sicilia. It's not from King Arthur, and it is a lot cheaper. I will put in a link for that as well if you're cheap like me, but it's not the essence, so it's probably not really that much of a bargain because you're just gonna, it's diluted with alcohol. So
yeah. I was kind of curious to try it, and then I think it could be something that we'll have to try later, because god damn it, I'm going to use that whole ounce of the Fiore di Sicilia that I just bought.
Yeah, if anybody has a recipe out there, we're wondering if we could maybe make a cocktail out of it.
Yes, I think we should try that. And I could see where it could be good in just a tiny bit in a panettone or something like that. And I guess it's often used in kind of biscotti and other baked goods.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe Madeleine.
Mmm. That would be anything that you would use the citrus, or maybe you would want a strong vanilla with a little citrus. It would be really good. But anyway, so you put all those wet ingredients together, and then you add a 1 1/4 cups of flour, and actually you add the flour, the sugar, baking powder, soda. We'll put a link to the recipe in, and then just mix it all together. Pop it into, I use like a 9-inch round cake pan, and I lined it with parchment. It took about 30 minutes at 350 to bake, but it's got a wonderful fragrance. It's got a nice orange ting to it. It's really good, and I'm really grateful to Keely for passing this along and introducing me to Fiore di Sicilia.
Well, and she recommended that she said she serves hers with mascarpone, and I'm not sure if that she makes a frosting or she just whips it up a little, but I found a recipe on a website called Batter and Dough for mascarpone frosting. And
Ooh.
it's just 8 ounces of mascarpone, which, is a regular tub that you can find at Trader Joe's, whatever. And then 8 ounces of whipping cream, a cup of powdered sugar, 2 teaspoons of vanilla, and 1/4 teaspoon salt. I don't think it really needs the salt, but that's what the recipe called for. And basically, you're just whipping those together, and it makes a really nice frosting. Is a little different. It's just got that mascarpone cheese
Is
flavor.
it a little bit lighter than like a regular cream cheese frosting?
Yeah, I would say it's a little lighter, and I like it. I thought it was really good. And I discovered when I went to make it that I was out of powdered sugar. So I remembered back, like in high school, that I guess mom told me, because we didn't have the internet back then, that, hi mom,
Hi, Mom.
yeah, you can make powdered sugar by just putting some sugar in a blender there, and voila, you have powdered sugar. I did look it up, and they say to add cornstarch. So for a cup of sugar, it's a tablespoon of cornstarch. And I guess the cornstarch makes it stay powdery and not clump together.
Clump, yeah.
Yeah. So, yes. So I thought that was a good tip to remind everybody. I find the whole world of substituting fascinating, that you can make your own buttermilk.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, she also said she served it with berries. So I happen to have some kiwi berries, which are quite
Oh.
delicious.
Oh.
Yes.
I don't think
So
I've ever had those.
they're just a little kiwi, but they're so
Do you
good.
have to, but do they have like all the little kiwi hairs on it that like you don't know what to
No,
do
they don't. They're
with?
bald.
Bald
They're
kiwi.
bald kiwi. They're about the size of like a large grape,
Oh, okay.
and that was one of the Costco finds. Costco always has interesting fruits. So yeah, so
Yeah.
with strawberries and kiwi fruits and
Yeah, I don't think we get that stuff out here in
the.
Colonial Massachusetts.
They have apples and pears.
Bananas. Yeah.
Bananas is as exotic as it gets.
Yeah.
Remember, mom said that in the 50s, they were taught how to peel a banana. And it was like you lie it on a plate, and then you cut the peel lengthwise, and then you sort of open it, and then you slice
Like it.
the in rounds, and that's how you get, which I've done it that way just because it's really fun, and it really makes you like the slow you slow down to eat your
It's
banana.
the slow food. I do remember very memorably because, you know, I used to teach at Regis College, which was a Catholic women's college, and we used to have a faculty room where you could go down and have lunch, and all of the sisters would go down and have lunch. And they used to cut their bananas like that. And it was the best to watch these 70-year-old sisters kind of dissecting. I mean, to me, it
Yeah.
kind of reminded me of when you dissected a frog. in fifth grade science class. You know, you cut it and then split it apart and everything like that. And
That reminds me of when you taught me how to dissect a grape to get the seed out.
oh.
Okay, now you're going to want to make a crosswise incision. Then go in. And it was like removing a bullet.
I know. Well, don't say I never taught you anything.
The kids now, they're missing out because all the grapes are seedless. They have no idea.
True. No, but I definitely will make this. I think it would be really good in a sort of more spring, like I could totally see it like in an Easter brunch. And with the creaminess of like the mascarpone and the fresh berries that we'll never have, it would just be awesome. So thank you, Keely, for recommending that. So Booty, we have to talk about the Olympics are over, but there is a new term. Have you heard of this? The Knitlympians.
Yes, and I love it.
Yes.
I mean, we talked about this at the very beginning, why we started knitting, and for you, it was watching your son at swim meets or swim practices, and especially something like swimming, where there's a whole bunch of other kids who are doing their races, and then your kid's on there for 2 minutes. And then, so I think it's perfect for skiing and skating, swimming.
Yeah, I didn't realize, and I started kind of looking into this, and so the first person I looked at was Breezy Johnson, so the skier. First of all, love her name. You know, I don't know what it is about these skiers. Remember Peekaboo Street? The best. I did not realize that she went. Do you know where she went to college?
No.
Booty. Right down the street from you. She went to Western Washington University in Bellingham.
Oh, which has three wonderful yarn stores.
I'm not sure she was knitting then because she said her mom taught her, but that she really picked it up during COVID. But she also had a lot of injuries. And so this was, I think, something that initially she was doing to keep her mind not focused on the injuries. But like you said, she was explaining, you know, you would often get up and be on the slopes at 8:30, but your race might not be until 11:30.
Right.
So managing, and they had a lot of pictures of skiers actually standing up with the little like bibby things to keep their knitting in. And, you know, standing up there waiting for their thing and knitting. And so one of them, Maxine Germain, a biathlete who was born in Alaska, and actually, I think he moved to France when he was a toddler, but he started knitting about a year ago when he saw other athletes doing it. And there's a great little Instagram where he's like, "Oh, I can't feel my fingers." By knitting. Yeah. But he also had a cute video on Instagram showing how he had blocked this sweater that he'd made and how he'd done some color work and crochet. So he was trying it on. And then he was like, "Oh, feels like sandpaper."
Yeah, we've all been there. And then you think, maybe if
Wash it again and
I block
again and again.
it.
Yeah. A lot of the biathletes seem to have taken up knitting. There was Deirdre Irwin, who likes to make socks and knit a whole bunch of gifts for the staff people who help out at the Olympics. And Lucinda Anderson, also a biathlete, was knitting this fabulous sparkly thing. I don't know what that was. And then there was Jalyn Koff, who's a freestyle skier. She won two silvers in the 2026 Olympics. She knit beanies for all of her friends and family to wear while they were
Oh.
cheering her on. She knit something like 50 beanies.
Oh my
So
God.
it's sort of part of her whole motto of kind of deliver the love.
That's so great because I mean, obviously that takes a lot of time, but now everybody has a memento of her time at the Olympics, you know, treasure that she actually made for them. And I love, I know Tom Daly gives little medal holders that he crochets. He
I
did the
love that.
cutest one on Sesame Street. He made a cookie holder for Cookie Monster. So cute.
Is so cute. Yeah. Well, and Breezy Johnson, I guess, started this thing where the night before a race, she knits a new headband
Right.
because she noticed that she does better when she's wearing a headband. And
Right.
I didn't realize that she just designs all of these because I guess people were asking, oh, can you give me the pattern? And she was like, not really. I just kind of, make it up as I go along, which I was very impressed by that because some of them were pretty intricate, and it wasn't just like alternating stripes and stuff.
Right. Yeah, they're very cute.
She was the one that became engaged at the end of the Olympics. I hadn't thought of it as much as I was thinking about all of that downtime between watching my son and his events, how difficult that must be for athletes to, because you want to be focused, but you also need some time away. So you want to be in the flow of it, but not obsessively so. And all of them talked about this, how it just kind of allowed them to not be thinking about their event, but still be sort of present and in that state of focus, flow, alert and ready, but not overstressed. I thought that was interesting. The other one was Greta Myers. She's a speed skater. She made her mom a tote bag for her to bring to the Olympics. Yeah. Ben Ogden, who's he was also a cross country skier. He's the one that won a silver and kind of ended the 50-year drought in American skiing. He's also the one that does a backflip. He did a backflip at the end of it. But he was working on a pair of mittens during the Olympics with a Joan of Arc motif.
Oh, yes, I saw that. That was excellent.
Yeah. And apparently a lot of them ordered yarn to be delivered to them
During the Olympics.
during the Olympics. Love that.
There are some good yarn stores in Italy.
But they probably don't have a lot of time to, because,
Not until afterwards, yeah.
And I do think that Tom Daley kind of started a trend that's really picked up. And even Maxime Germain said he started this because he saw other people doing it. I just thought that was great.
I think that there's a way that people see how accessible it is.
And portable.
Quiet, it's not. Yeah, I think there's a whole question of etiquette. Do you knit? I think I can knit pretty much anywhere. I maybe don't bring my knitting to the movies.
I would need to see.
They have lighted needles, but I feel like that's a bit much, like to, or to wear one of those lamps around your neck or something like that. But yeah, I think for meetings, yes.
Well, I don't know. I usually need to like pretend to take notes during meetings,
I
but
was just going to say, unless you're taking notes.
there was a great little video too of Maddie Mastro. She's a half pipe snowboarder. She had this great caption: "Did not finish the beanie, but did make it to the Olympics." And it showed her knitting in the car on the way from the airport to the Olympic Village. I thought that was great. And she was wearing it, and she had like half of it.
Wait, and that's another one. If you're traveling a lot, then waiting for your plane and in the plane.
Well, and I think too, that it's often been compared to meditation or to yoga as a kind of creating that focused, alert state of mind. But I think the difference is that, and at the end of that, you got a beanie or 50
Right.
for all your friends and family. I think it was so great. And I loved being able to Google the names of these athletes and put the word knitter after them and see all of the ways in which they were sharing their knitting with the world. And it wasn't some weird thing. And they were clearly so proud of what, I mean, Maxime Germain was so proud of this sweater.
Right, I didn't.
Yeah. And he said, "I did some color work along the bottom here and some crochet. I had to learn how to do that." Yeah. So I just love the phenom of the knit. Olympians, and more
Yeah.
power to them.
Congratulations on making it to the Olympics from Booty
Yeah.
and Bossy.
Yes. Excelling in both the world of knitting and the world of Olympic sports.
Right. I know. Equally excellent.
Equally important, equally excellent,
Yeah. Equally time consuming.
equally heartbreaking sometimes.
Equally heartbreaking. Financially, probably about the
Probably the same.
same.
There's so many bases for comparison.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Booty, what are you knitting these days?
Since we published our bonus episode on the melt ice hat phenomenon, we discovered a few more. So we had a suggestion. This was Bossy's idea. So maybe you should tell them.
I was so struck by the fact that the Frisian red hat was on the U.S. Senate seal. But I was thinking what we could do is send a red melty ice hat to every member of the U.S. Senate. So that'd be 100.
Yeah,
But
that's a lot of hats.
that's a lot of hats.
Yeah, but Jalen Koff didn't make 50 hats for all of her.
That's true. We could, that's a great idea. We could ask Jalen Koff to do it.
Well, I was thinking that means that we should be able to do it 50 hats each. Or another thought was if any of our listeners want to do that, that would be great. And we'll put out a letter that you can fill in to your senator, giving the history of the Frisian hat and with a picture of the seal. And if making a hat is too much, then there are these little hats that could be worn as pins. So that's another option. And we'll put in a link for that. There's one called the Mini Melt Ice Brooch by Jody Sillies Mason. That's also a great idea for if you live in Florida or something like that, and you're really not going to wear a hat. And also, there's one for the Skelly, that Debbie Skelly's. So,
Oh, that would be great.
yeah, there's a Skelly's Melts the Ice Hat by Caroline Castell, and we'll put in a link for that. Very cute.
Well, and I do want to make there's one that has the white band of the Star Wars resistance fighters, which I thought was pretty cool because I like how it's coded. You know, you
Yes.
have to kind of be in the know to know what it is you're seeing. I mean, I think the pussy hats were much more out there with their message, but this is more under the radar for those in the know. But I
Yeah.
might make one though and send it to Elizabeth Warren. I think she would wear it.
Yeah.
And she'd maybe tell the story to other people.
Yeah, it's and both since Bossy lives in Massachusetts and I live in Washington, we're preaching to the choir here. But hey, it's also a way to say thank you for all you've been doing to resist the
That's a
whole.
great point. Yeah. It could be an acknowledgement and a thank you message of appreciation. And then they could start their own little red hat club within the Senate, like secret society. Do you have the little red hat pin? Then we'll let you in.
Right.
We're on the same page. Well, what else are you knitting, Booty?
Well, I am on Sleeve Island of my son's Viperidae sweater, which is a really cool snake motif around the yoke. And then the rest of the sweater is just block. So it's a sea of plain stockinette. It goes fairly fast. I'm also working on a very long project. It's a knit along with Marie Green. It's called Kumi, Kumi. And it's a cardigan with cables on the front panels. And then the back is lace. So, okay, lace is normally my nemesis, but in this case, it stays in its lane. So,
Oh, okay.
yeah, it goes in and out and in and out. And there's it's a cable lace pattern. But I find if you go row by row, I think it's called highlighting tape. And so if you have a chart, you use the highlight tape to mark where you are.
Oh,
And
okay.
then you move it up as you go. The highlighter tape is nice. There's something very gratifying about moving it up as you go.
No,
You're like,
I could see that.
yay!
One more row.
Yeah, one more row. They're like close to 300 stitches to start with because you're doing the whole thing, the fronts and the back,
Okay.
until you divide for the sleeves. So,
I actually like lace knitting, but I especially like it when it's like you said, where it's kind of straight so you can see where you are in the pattern. I find that's helpful in terms of not getting lost.
yeah, I find that when you have to move the marker, this one, the markers stay in the same place the whole time. So, yeah.
Well, I am almost to the part in my gold wing. I like you, I'm on Sleeve Island. Well, when I'm not knitting the Melt the Ice hats, which I've done two and I'm on my third. And each one has been a little different, either because of the yarn or
Right.
size. I did the most recent one with a Malabrigo. I think it was a sock weight, but I doubled it because I was like, oh my God, this is never gonna end. So I did it. And that knitted up pretty nicely. And I like Malabrigo. It's kind of nice and springy to work with. And it was this nice cherry yarn. And Webs actually still had some. That was good. Made a trip out to Webs to get more. But I'm on Sleeve Island for the gold wing. And I'm just about at the part where I'm going to do the color work at the bottom of the sleeve.
That's such a delicious time when you get to that. You're like the flourish at the finish line. It's the backflip.
Ben Ogden's backflip there. I'm thinking I might have to revisit the jacquard because there are at the beginning of that some pretty big spaces between the color, the ladder back jacquard. I remember you showed me how to do it and then I forgot and I thought it was kind of a pain, frankly.
The setup can be a bit of a pain, but I think basically if you look at the chart and you kind of decide where the big gaps are and so you want to
Yeah.
pick right in the middle of there, that's where you're going to put your ladder backs and you want to choose that ahead of time and maybe even draw it on the chart.
All of this is hard for me. It's planning ahead
Yes.
instead of just blindly jumping into things.
Yeah, once you get going, it gets a lot easier. But what I always forget to do is yarn forward, make the ladder back so that it's in the back.
Oh, I
And
see. Yeah.
that's the part that I always wind up like, oops, and then it doesn't work.
That was very nice how you said oops instead of like shit fuck. Is that because we're a family show?
Fucking prick.
Hi, Mom.
Bossy curses all the time, Mom. Bet you didn't know that.
Booty curses all the time. She just doesn't get caught. It was just like her childhood. She's just better at going under the radar.
Oopsie
Oopsie doodle. What are you for the character in the Simpsons?
Flanders.
Flanders. Oobly doobly.
Oobly
But we digress.
doobly.
I think we've covered some important things. We've made a lovely lemony, orangey, vanilla-y fiore di Sicilia. Really try that out. That's really good. Thank you, Keely, again. We've talked about the Knit Olympians and how much we love that. And you know what's nice is their knitting will continue even though the Olympics is over. So we can still follow all of them in their knitting adventures. Unlike the Olympics, which only happens every 4 years, so that's another good thing. And we've decided to embark on a political endeavor that's very hazy and not very well planned out.
Vague and haphazard.
Haphazard, but full of good intentions.
Yes, as are all the things we do.
As are all the things we do, yes. And then we're both on Sleeve Island. So I think it's time to say, Booty, whatever you do, don't
Don't
knit
knit
like
like my
my
sister.
sister, but do send a red hat to your senator. or a little pin, and do let us know if you do it. Yeah.
Yes, we would love to hear about it.
And check out our website, bootyandbossy.com.